Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for this beautiful day you've blessed us with and the awesome opportunity to be able to come into your house as part of your family and get into your word. Help us now as we do that to understand it, apply it in the right way, and draw close to you, build our faith and trust in you and in your word. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series in 2 Corinthians, pick it back up here in chapter 9 where Paul, as is we've already seen in chapter 8, speaking to the churches in Corinthian, in Corinth, I should say, about the various attitudes concerning giving and supporting the saints. Not just the ministers, but the other churches as well. Looking after your brother in Christ, basically. And he addresses here some of the things that he's been dealing with, even some accusations about him and those traveling with him that we'll see he discusses with them as we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering of to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Superfluous. Not exactly a word we use a lot. But it's meaning of a necessity, and it is advantageous and concerning that they do this speedily as well. So it's of a concern that needs to be dealt with soon. It says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, this provoking here is not how we typically would use the word provoke. We think of provoke being you aggravated somebody to strike back or you provoked someone to anger. But this isn't that. It's talking about motivated. His motivating others to do the same thing in assisting the saints. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Now, he's boasted. He's actually bragged about how well the Macedonian churches have been supporting other churches. So he's now letting them know that I'm going to send some fellows ahead of me to help you prepare to get your donations together before I get there so that my bragging of you will not be in vain or be incorrect, because I've been telling everybody about how well you support folks, and now I'm giving you a little heads up that I'm coming to get a donation to help others. Basically what he's getting into here. Lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you, unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetous. Because he's speaking of the church there at Achaia and the Macedonians, because these both he's dealing with at the same time here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He's speaking here to give as the Lord leads them to give. And you will be rewarded for it, because the Lord's going to make sure that you have what you need when you are generous with what he gives you. He even multiplies what he gives you when you share it with others. Now, this is not just talking about finance. This is talking about your time, your love, your care, your association, everything that you do for the Lord, all that He gives you, your information, your knowledge, your wisdom that you share with others, He multiplies it when you share it. Verse 9, as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad and He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. See, when you give it, then it'll increase what you have to begin with. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So he's complimenting the church in Macedonia and Achaia and letting them know that they're going to continue to come and receive some of the bountiful gifts to help disperse them to other churches, especially the others in Jerusalem that were in great need to help them continue to serve the Lord. All right, now right on into chapter 10. He gets into an interesting subject here and some of the issues that have been brought up and even some of the things that Paul has been dealing with. It's always been people that want to put an obstacle in the way. And there was a lot of folks that were condemning Paul and talking trash about him and spreading rumors that were false and trying to cut him down to others because they were jealous. They didn't like to see how much influence and how much benefit to the kingdom that Paul had. As it continues in chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. See, some of them are saying that Paul and those with him were just greedy fellows going around getting money for themselves. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of an authority which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. One of the things that they criticized him about, saying that, well, you write these letters, especially the first letter of Corinthians, and there was another, apparently another letter, or maybe multiple letters that he'd been sending to the church there in Corinth and to Macedonia and Achaia and to the others as well. In some of those things, he's very bold, he's very profound in what he's saying, and they're saying, well, in presence, when he's here with us and all, he just seems like he is weak and he doesn't push it as much. They were trying to say that he was a hypocrite. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such as one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also in deed when we are present. Like, he's going to practice what he preaches. For we dare not make ourselves of the number of, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Those that were out there bragging about what they have achieved could fall into this category, speaking of there in 12. Because there are people that are in the ministry that want the glory, they want the honor, they want to be praised of others, they want to be complimented, and they do things for that specific purpose, for their own gain, whether it be financial gain or for the praise of others. And they're comparing themselves with themselves, and that's what he says is not wise. Verse 13. But we will not boast of things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also to in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure. Not boasting of things without our measure. They cannot boast about something that they don't have any control of anyway, and they cannot take credit for something God has done. That's what he's pointing out. Shouldn't be doing such things. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors. Here he's getting into other men's labors as well. Someone comes in and preaches a message, and then you've got four or five folks come up and get saved, and then he brags about, well, that was because I came and preached that message. Well, all the work that had been done prior to that final work that led somebody to the Lord is not in being considered. Here's Paul's pointing out. There's a lot of work being done prior to him doing the work that he's doing, because the Holy Ghost begins the work and does the primary work. Then he allows us to be a part of his work. And then you come along and brag about it because you have achieved something that you only had a small portion of the labor involved in it. And that's what he's pointing out. Some were trying to take full credit for the things that were being done for the Lord as if it was all their power, their influence that they had done it. So they brag about it. Just like he's talking about in verse 12. I mean, I've seen this personally in group meetings that I've been in, pastors association meetings and stuff like that, where pastors get up and they just brag about what and all they've achieved. And, oh, look at me, how great I am and what I have done, how a huge church I have developed and grown, and all these souls been saved because of me, all that. And it's terrible. Never, ever should anyone take credit for the things that are done in the ministry, because all the credit goes to the Lord, not to themselves. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them here. And they got those in there that are doing it. They're trying to take credit for the things themselves and then cut Paul down and his associates for what they have achieved. Verse 15 again, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You go bragging about yourself and commending yourself, that doesn't count. When the Lord gives you the honor and the glory that comes at judgment day, that's what counts. All right, we'll get into chapter 11 here. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. with his folly. He's getting into some stuff that it's like, what do they say, like a metaphor. Sometimes he uses that. And he gets into some subjects that are very important, but in the way that he's telling him, you got to read between the lines, basically, and understand the message that he's giving you. Not specifically the words and the way they're used, but understand what he's telling you. In a similar way, the Lord used the parables to teach people. You got to, what is the spiritual message in what he is saying, and to apply it in the right way. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. See, it wasn't literal. He didn't literally marry the church to an individual, but speaking metaphorically, you might put that in there. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye may well bear with him. He's cautioning them about some of the false teachings that are coming about. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He's telling them here that he supposes that he himself is no less important or of authority as the rest of the apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. He didn't literally go break in and rob a church. That's what he's talking about when he started out talking about folly. He taking donations and getting support from various churches and then assisting this church he's speaking to here, but not getting a direct donation for him from this particular church. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Like, he's not wanting to take any money from Achaia. He's gotten donations from others. See, the reason he's even talking about these subjects or this issue is because of the false accusations against him by the false teachers that were coming in, trying to corrupt the churches. And one of the ways of corrupting the church is to cut down Paul and his teachings. We have seen this. This is on an increase today in America. A big movement started in Europe and it's moved to America. These Hebrew rights movements and divisions off of that. And one of the primary things they do is they condemn Paul. They say that Paul is a false teacher. This goes all the way back to what Paul's talking about. It began way back then and still going on today and on increase today. To try to say that anything and everything is written in the Bible that has anything to do with Paul is false. And that's one of the ways they try to split up the church. They try to create division. They tried to, basically, that's the work of Satan, trying to destroy a church. And here we see it where it was beginning, right there in Achaia and Macedonia. Verse 11, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They are infiltrators. They come in pretending and acting like they are Christians, but really they are of Antichrist, and they come in pretending to be a Christian, but yet in their heart they don't even have a relationship with God. And they start divisions. They start questioning. They bring up some off-the-wall, obscure discussions about things that cause doubt in people's mind and cause them to doubt the Word of God. And that's what was going on back then and is, like I say, really prominent and going on a lot today. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also being transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Lord's going to get them for it, in other words. They're going to pay. They come in, they pretend they're Christian. They come in, they pretend they know what's right and what's wrong, and actually they're being led by Satan. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Like, okay, they like to brag and stuff here. I'm going to do a little bit of bragging about myself. He says, I know it's foolishly, but let me tell you a little bit about my past. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. See, now he's telling him what he's been going through, what his experiences are, what he has suffered, what he has gone through, and he's still serving the Lord, totally devoted to serving the Lord. Can they say that? Those that are going up against him, bragging about what they have achieved and cutting him down and condemning him, saying that he's false and saying that he's a hypocrite? Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? Talking about here, the care of those churches. When he hears about someone else's problem, he has that empathy. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor unto Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Right into chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, he's actually talking about himself. But because he doesn't want to boast or lift himself up as being something to be worshipped, He just says, I know a fellow that went through this experience. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all presence and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Here he's pointing out once again that all the things that have been achieved, all the things that they had seen, witnessed, and been a part of, that should put him in the same rank of the other apostles. Even though he's not bragging, even those things he's experienced and that out-of-body or in-the-body experience he just talked about, he wouldn't identify it as specifically him because he didn't want to lift himself up as being any better than any of the other apostles or any other Christian. For what is it wherein ye have inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? Getting back into that subject about the donations and the false accusations against him that brought up this subject to begin with, is that he was becoming a burden, that he was taking more than he was given, that they weren't worth supporting Paul because they weren't getting anything out of it. He's pointing out just the opposite. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Point that out. It's very important there. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swelling tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall be wail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. All this given to them, trying to help them be ready, and be on the right path. And defending himself against the false accusers, against those that have basically were saying that he was a hypocrite, just in it for himself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word, the things in here that can really help us walk the pathway that you want us to be on. Help us always to learn from all of it. Give us that burning desire to dig deep into there and find all those messages that we need and apply them the right way. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.